Welcome to Listen, the Catalyst Marketing Podcast. This episode features Alex Jackiew, president of Millhouse Management. This year, she celebrates 40 years in the industry and has many insights that we can all learn from in the categories of creating a strong customer experience. She shares key differentiators, including using reputation management scores as one component to bonus structures, a focus on volunteerism and selling a lifestyle, not a building, innovative property touring ideas, and she ends with a list of key influencers in psychology, leadership, and marketing. Join us today in discovering the power of creating a strong customer experience. Well, good morning, Alex. We're so excited to have you on the Listen podcast.
Good morning.
Today, I'm excited to really dive into our topic with you. We're going to be covering the customer experience and reputation management and really how the two work together and how they can really impact that, you know, that customer experience and how we communicate with our residents really can impact renewals, but it really can also impact attracting new prospects to our communities. And so just want to dig in today and really gather an understanding about your thoughts and how Millhouse approaches the customer experience. And so thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate having experts like you to really shed some light on these important topics.
It's my pleasure. It's a topic that I feel very strongly about, so I'm happy to share kind of the Millhouse experience with your audience.
Great. Well, to kick off, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? I know we all love to do that, right? But who you are, a little bit about your experience, your business focus, and then Millhouse. You know, what's different about Millhouse, and how do you set yourself apart?
Certainly. I am actually celebrating my 40th year in the business this year.
Wow. Wow.
And I always tell people I started when I was 12 if they're counting backwards. So, I've been at it a long time and from a lot of different perspectives, but I actually started in the business managing public housing and working as a housing director for a public housing authority. So I've seen kind of a broad spectrum of the housing choices people make, and over the course of my time, I've worked for publicly traded companies as well as privately held companies, and kind of landed at Millhouse a little over 4 years ago as kind of an interesting entrepreneurial company that was doing some fun things that were of interest to me. I'm president of the management company here at Millhouse, and I focus my attention on the operations of the properties that we own, as well as a portfolio of third-party clients. We have a group of institutional clients for whom we fee manage, but Millhouse's primary focus is on development and construction and management of urban infill properties in emerging neighborhoods. So we're focused primarily in secondary markets where we go into neighborhoods that maybe have gone through a decline and are in an upswing and are being gentrified, and where young people are interested in living, and assemble parcels of land where we can build our urban infill product and enhance the neighborhood. Kind of, we sort of plant our stake in the ground and sort of become an urban pioneer in some of the neighborhoods in which we get involved in. And so we're focused on, as I said, secondary markets. We're based in Indianapolis, but we're building in Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Louisville, Memphis, and most recently are looking at Tampa and St. Pete. Most of our buildings are LEED certified, which is also a kind of a differentiator for us and a big focus for the, kind of our new customers. So we're proud of that as well.
That's great. That's great. Well, no wonder why you're such a busy woman. A lot of development, construction, and
we've got 12 jobs coming out of the ground.
Wow. Yeah. Very impressive.
Well, I know we can all glean a lot of insight from you, no doubt, especially with the emerging neighborhoods. I know that is always a challenge to come in and, like you're saying, really enhance those neighborhoods and offer housing and new offerings. And I'm sure there are challenges, but also some really positive things around that process.
Well, and what we enjoy most about it is that typically when we go into these neighborhoods, we're embraced by city officials and community leaders because kind of they know that we're committed to that neighborhood for the long term and that we want the neighborhood businesses to kind of be part of our amenities package. Mm-hmm. We sell the neighborhood as much as we sell the property when we're marketing to our customer.
I think that's really key. That you share that and a great way to, you know, we're talking about customer experience, but that also relates to the neighborhoods and the businesses that are already there. It seems like that's a really great way to build relationship and even connection between
Absolutely.
The businesses and the residents.
Absolutely. I think that's key.
So in terms of the customer experience, what are some of those ways? I mean, you name one. Obviously, one is coming in and really forming relationships with community officials as well as businesses. But what are some other ways that once you have a development in place that Millhouse focuses on that customer experience for residents?
Well, you know, I think we're at a kind of a crossroads in our business where I don't know that we're selling apartments any longer. I think we're selling a lifestyle. And we've kind of need to shift our conversation when we talk to kind of the customer that comes through the door as to what they can expect if they're going to live with us. So a lot of it has to do with kind of the services we provide and personalizing the experience for that customer and painting a real picture of what that lifestyle is. You know, I spent some time at a conference last week, and I was listening to a speaker talk about the Gen Z customer and what their expectations are. And it's a very different clientele. It's going to be a very different experience from a leasing standpoint. And I think those components are important. The other thing we really embrace is volunteerism. And statistics have shown that a great portion of the young generation that we lease to are really, really interested in doing volunteer work and working in some capacity with charitable organizations, but don't necessarily know how to go about getting started or how to get involved. So we sort of provide that entree by embracing particular organizations in the neighborhoods in which we operate and then creating events around those charitable organizations to get people involved and meeting one another and feeling like they're giving back to the community and the neighborhood where they've chosen to live.
That's great. I know we hear that a lot, too, just in terms of the new younger generation really wanting just to belong to something greater than
mm-hmm.
themselves and really
mm-hmm.
give back. And I love your statement about we're selling a lifestyle, not just an apartment building, because we hear that as well. You know, people want to belong to a community. And being that individuals are choosing to rent longer and forgoing that home buying experience, I think that's even more important to really look at how do we embrace that and how do we truly build community. Are there any other ideas around building community and engaging residents that you see your leasing teams really driving and implementing at your properties?
Well, a lot of it has to do with partnering with neighborhood businesses as well. You know, I just left a meeting where we were talking about a particular property where, you know, our mixed-use communities have a retail space in on the first floor of the building. So partnering with those retailers and creating events with the retailers. In one particular building, we have a wine shop, and we've done open houses and kind of gave residents an opportunity to meet one another and kind of create relationships that way. At another property, we have a young woman that's just opened a candle shop where people can make their own candles with their own scents, and she serves wine and creating an event to help kind of feature that retailer and at the same time have a fun event for our residents. At one of our properties, the residents have been extremely active and have formed a resident council, and they want to have input into kind of the events that we sponsor and that support at the property. So the resident council has been very active, and we've encouraged that and participate in it and want to make sure that the residents have a say in kind of how the building is run and the activities that we provide for them.
That's great. I know we often see in various surveys that residents are saying, I just wish they would have asked me, you know, XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is definitely a differentiator from a Millhouse perspective, and I think probably offers a lot of strength and maybe even increasing resident retention. Is that true?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true, because once you have people create a social circle in the environment in which they live, they're reluctant to leave that social circle, and it reinforces for them kind of the things that are important. Those kind of social interactions people really hunger for. They don't get them necessarily in the work environment, but when they go home in the evening and we're there on weekends and they can participate in events with people that live there in that same environment, I think it kind of cements those relationships in a way that causes people to want to stay longer.
That's great. So from an engagement perspective, how are you seeing that residents are really engaging with the property? You name events, but are there specific social media platforms that they really tend to gravitate to? Are your leasing team sharing some of that feedback? And, hey, our residents are really engaging with us on Facebook, or they're really engaging with us on Instagram. What are you guys seeing from a Millhouse perspective?
Well, it's interesting because it sort of depends on the resident profile. We have a portfolio of purpose-built student housing assets where Instagram is the kind of the go-to venue. And
okay.
When we're announcing events or when we're kind of reinforcing an event that's already taken place, Instagram is definitely kind of the go-to platform. We're seeing Facebook in other properties. We're starting to play a little bit with Snapchat. We don't feel like Twitter has been as much of kind of a platform for us as certainly Facebook and Instagram. We're starting to schedule Facebook tours. So for those people that maybe can't get to a property, we do a kind of a virtual tour of a select unit, and we schedule the appointment sort of on Facebook. Let's say Thursdays at 2 o'clock, we're going to do a Facebook tour of our property in Indianapolis, our flagship property, Artistry, and we're featuring X unit. We're featuring our kind of Echo Suite unit this week, and we conduct a kind of a live tour, and it's been interesting. The response has been wonderful, and we've even had some residents ask if they can send the videos on to friends that are going to be moving to the area. So they've kind of become our referral source sometimes.
Oh, that's nice. We love when that happens. So are there any other, that's really, again, just unique, and I think a differentiator. You're diving into some new technologies there. Are there any other technologies, video or virtual reality, that you've seen really work well in showcasing your communities, or are you considering those?
Well, we're actually using virtual tours now in Milwaukee and in Pittsburgh. We've got projects under construction, one in Pittsburgh that's kind of midway through lease up. That's been kind of a very cool experience right along the Allegheny River, and then we have two projects in Milwaukee, one that's located on an old Pabst Brewery site, which has been kind of fun because it's a very historic area, And, you know, we typically move into those projects earlier. We have temporary leasing space, and so we're doing virtual tours at both of those locations, both in Pittsburgh and in Milwaukee. Been extremely well received, and, you know, kind of converting those to videos and having fun with it.
Great. So to shift gears a bit, you're just sharing so many great insights. I wanted to dig into the reputation management. I know that this is a hot topic, and companies struggle with, you know, gosh, you know, how involved should we be? How important is it? And I'm almost positive you can shed some light on how focusing on reputation management can really impact leasing, whether that's in a positive way or negative way. Can you share a few ways that Millhouse really focuses around this, what I consider to be almost a forgotten marketing tactic at times?
Well, I think it's front and center at Millhouse. Actually, I don't think it. I know it's front and center at Millhouse because we use a third-party service that surveys all of our residents at least twice a year and all of our prospects coming in the door. And we publish those results on a quarterly basis to the entire company and review the comments as well as the scores and how we rank based on the national average. But more importantly, our entire corporate kind of incentive comp program, our bonus program for everybody at the corporate office, whether it's development, construction, or property management, one component of that incentive comp kind of scoring that we do is tied to the scores we receive on those surveys, both the prospect surveys and the resident surveys. And the reason I mention this and why I think it's important, because a construction superintendent in the field that hears that a prospect said the project didn't look very open, there was trash everywhere, I couldn't find the leasing office, and it's because the construction superintendent hadn't moved the fence or hadn't policed the grounds along the construction area, his bonus gets impacted by those kinds of comments. So with everyone knowing that that customer experience is front and center, really keeps people focused on it, whether it's the construction superintendent on site, how the developer kind of anticipates delivering the project, and how we manage it as property management folks. We study those results. We look at them carefully. We adjust our kind of offering on a future project based on feedback from prospects and residents on how they enjoy the living experience at their current community. So we include that into the planning of future projects. We adjust our operations. And I think there's nothing more powerful than seeing a comment from a resident on a survey and being able to react immediately and fix a problem. And this is a small thing, but it's something that residents paid attention to. We got a comment that at one of our pools, they couldn't understand why we didn't have recycling trash bins in addition to just trash receptacles, since people you know, have soft drinks and bottled water at the pool.
Right.
And we immediately reacted and kind of branded the recycling receptacles that we placed there. And one of the residents came into the office and started laughing and said, I really didn't expect somebody to react as quickly to something I put on a comment, but thank you.
Wow.
And so that kind of cements relationships there as well.
Mm-hmm. Surely does. What a great idea to tie performance, a bonus, to reviews and surveys. That's a really great idea.
We've also done focus groups. We've done focus groups in a couple of our properties, and I think obviously that's not very high tech, but sometimes that person-to-person contact of getting people to talk about their experience and provide feedback has also been very important.
Yeah, that can be really enlightening. What are maybe some of the insights that you have been able to glean from the surveys, in addition to the idea of, you know, a resident commented they need recycling and that, you know, you implemented that right away. Are there any other key insights or trends that you're seeing across the board from your surveys or reviews?
Some of them have been design issues and kind of configuration of space, and we've made some adjustments there. A lot of them have been kind of operational concerns about hours, offices open, you know, the proverbial ubiquitous complaint about people being able to get their packages.
Right.
You know, we all struggle with that. And I think a lot of it has been mostly comments about a prospect feeling important, feeling listened to, and liking the personalization of the experience. I stole this idea from another developer, but I love the idea. We provide an option for what we call express tours.
Okay.
We have prospects that come in that have limited time, and they don't want to go through an entire spiel. And so we can provide a 10-minute tour of only the key things that the prospect wants to see. So prospect walks in the door, they don't have an appointment, and we say, we're happy to provide you with an express tour if you're interested. It'll be, you know, a shortened version. We're going to make sure we cover all the key areas. What do you specifically want to see? And I'll have you on your way in 10 minutes. You'd be surprised at how many people appreciate kind of the efficiency of that experience and that we value their time.
Wow, I bet so. And I'm going to make the assumption that that has led to maybe an increase in new leases. Is that accurate?
It has indeed.
I bet so. Well, is there any other tips or trends or just commentary or ideas that you'd like to share around resident retention or the focus on the customer experience or reputation management that we haven't covered today?
Well, I heard a speaker the other day talk about the importance of personalizing the experience. So one size doesn't fit all, and we've got residents that live different lifestyles, and it's not a homogeneous group. And to the extent that we can personalize that experience and make people feel special in a world where so many things are automated, I think that that creates a unique experience for the customer. And having said that, I think that there is nothing more important than hiring the right people and training them again, and then training them some more, and kind of reinforcing what you're trying to accomplish. Because that customer experience and that kind of resident retention strategy, whatever it might be, is still very people-focused, and that's still kind of the most important component of what we do.
Right, right. So great. Thank you so much. Well, to wrap up our interview today, I would like to have you share maybe just some personal favorites, whether it's business or what you listen to for fun, either books or people that you follow, or even podcasts. I know we're all in search of new content, and we could all broaden our horizons. So if you would take a moment and maybe share a few of your favorites with our audience, I would really appreciate it.
I'd be happy to. I just heard a great speaker several weeks ago named Charlene Lee, capital L-I, who talks about kind of leadership and the new trends in creating a meaningful customer experience. I found her to be absolutely terrific, and kind of have looked forward to following her since. I am a kind of a huge junkie about futurism. And so I follow a fellow by the name of Peter Diamandis, who has an absolutely fascinating website and talks about kind of looking into the future and anticipating trends and understanding what they mean and kind of what they say. And I think he's a very important influencer in this world and an important person to follow. And then my friend Lisa Trozine turned me on to a psychologist who studies persuasion selling, a guy by the name of Robert Cialdini, who is a professor emeritus in psychology from Arizona State University. And I have found his books fascinating. I'm reading his book called Persuasion and also Influence Selling. I've got them both on my nightstand, and I'm alternating between them. I'm kind of a junkie. And then I found a book on marketing to Gen Z that is kind of fascinating to me because it talks a lot about kind of how Gen Z responds. And it's a book called Marketing to Gen Z, written by Jeff Fromm, F-R-O-M-M, and Angie Reed, R-E-A-D. Excellent, excellent information and really worth the read. And finally, I'm a Harvard Business Review junkie. I think their articles are terrific. You can get their stuff online. I like to hold the magazine in my hand and pour through all the articles and look forward to getting kind of the HBR when it comes through the mail to my house.
Well, great. These are awesome. I am going to definitely look up every single one.
Well, great. I'll be interested to hear on how you think, what you think of them.
Yes, I'm going to start this week. I have quite a commute, so it always helps to find podcasts or speakers and content. So thank you so much for sharing. I know many can benefit from what you recommended.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, and I appreciate all of your insights, all of your tips and trends that you shared, and we thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Listen, the Catalyst Marketing Podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this series around building a positive customer experience. Listen is produced by Catalyst, a full-service marketing and advertising firm located in Austin, Texas. We feature hot topics, new trends, and commentary from top experts in the student housing, multifamily, senior living, and residential real estate industries.